All right, today I'm going to teach and lead an exercise on how to do the spiritual babar, and I'm going to give you the history of how it came about. Nancy and I were on one of our early trips to Brazil, and it seems like on every mission trip, Satan sends three representatives to represent him on the mission trip. And you always wonder, why are they on a Christian mission trip? Shouldn't they be torturing felons or perhaps kicking dogs? You know, they're just nasty, unpleasant people, and amazingly enough, quite often they're Christian counselors. And I truly feel sorry for whoever their counselors are. But anyway, and I'm sure there's also some regular folks that are like that. So we're on a mission trip with about 60 people, no, 120 people, and we're in Brazil, and it was a healing mission trip. And I have, at that time, I had at least 20 plus years of ministry behind me, giving sermons, laying hands on people, being in public, working with street people, doing all kinds of things. And I found it frightening to be going into an arena of 4,000 people with their expectation being that the 120 of us were going to heal at least the majority. And I've never been in it. I've been in many lines to give prophecy or to lay hands on people, but I've never been expected to heal people. So I must admit, it made me, an experienced minister, nervous. Well, there were people on that trip who'd never been out of the country. There were older ladies who had saved up for maybe 3 or 4 years to get out of the country, have never been in ministry, never laid hands on people under pressure. And they were understandably nervous. And the decent people on the trip, which is by far the majority, comfort the new guys and say, you know what, you're going to be fine. By the time the night's over, you're going to have so many healings you won't be able to remember, which actually, believe it or not, is true. And so there were some people there doing that, but there was this one woman, also, as I said, a Christian counselor for Satan, and she said to one of the women who was pacing around, who was very nervous, she said, sit down, you're pacing around like a little lost dog. And the lady was understandably upset to be talked to that way. And I didn't have any positional authority on that trip, or I would have just told that lady, if you speak that way to one of the team members again, you're going home. Which they can do on those trips, but I could not make that happen. But I really was aggravated by the whole thing. And I kind of went, oh no, I am not putting up with this. So it occurred to me that since Jesus owns everything, and whoever has the most spiritual authority is closest to the boss who owns everything, that he owned the bus, therefore, ergo, the bus belongs to me. And even if there's people on the bus who have equal or even greater spiritual authority, they're not going to conflict with what I wanted to do, which was to enforce biblical positives on that bus so that we could have boundaries so that love could take place, so that scared team members could be encouraged, and so that we could do a better job of what we were there for, which was to heal people in the name of Jesus and to show forth his glory and perhaps get some salvations. And all those things happened. So I said, okay, that's not happening. So on my bus, I own it because Jesus owns it. People are kind. People are considerate. People speak like they like to be spoken to. People speak in love. People's hearts are open. People are generous. People are kind. And I just said that using all biblical positives. Okay, so here's 2 points now I want you to remember. I'm going to go over this again. Number one, you can do this because Jesus owns everything and you as his proxy can do it. Because he owns it, you own it. Point two, only use biblical positives and say them in a general way. You say, on my bus, people are kind. You do not say, on my bus, Susan is kind. If you do that, then you are doing witchcraft on Susan, because Susan has free will. If she wants to not be kind, that is actually her right, even though it's an annoying right. And so you use general terms. You do not name people specifically or even necessarily aim it at them. Well, anyway, I did this, and here's what I saw. I saw three strands of glittering silver, it looked like razor wire, about 2 inches thick, twisted with a tension in it, a spring tension, zipped 60 feet down the center of the bus, three strands of that stuff, and hung there. And I went, whoa! So that's why we call this the Bob Wire. It's not really Bob Wire. I suppose mm-hmm. I should call it the razor wire exercise. But anyway, and it hung there, and I saw it. Well, that lady who had spoken so unkindly to the older person the next day lost her voice and couldn't talk for the next, I think, 4 days. Well, on a mission trip where you're there to heal and you can't talk, it does slow things down. So she was embarrassed. And I have seen that result. I think on every mission trip we've run into some poor soul who was an idiot, who ended up not being able to talk. We were in Israel one time and there was a little guy on the trip. He weighed about 140 pounds soaking wet. He was in terrible physical condition. And he came up to me, and I weigh 240 pounds, and I'm in pretty good physical condition, and said, I could kill you in my bare hands. While we were looking at the temple, I had tears in my eyes from looking at the temple. And this little weirdo comes up and says, I could kill you with my bare hands. Well, probably not. And I think if I just ran away from him, he would die of a heart attack. And I was just like, what? Well, then he goes down the hill and comes up to a group of women who are on our trip, and he says to them, I can kill you with my bare hands. And I went, oh, no. So I said, on my trip, people are sane. And he spent the next 5 days in the hotel. He missed the trip to Israel, these 5 days of it, flat on his back, unable to move. And his wife would come out, and we'd chat with her, and she looked relieved, actually, not to have him around. And we said, how's he doing? Oh, not well. So he was in bed for 5 days. I have used this, and I've taught many counselors to use this in many settings. So let me tell you a few, because these settings are more common. They don't have to be so spiritual as like a bus trip to Israel or a mission trip to Brazil to do healing. Within the context of a job, there was a woman who's very close to me, and a manager was very much mistreating her. And I don't bother to do this for people who just are doing what I would call minor infractions or just being kind of annoying or human. This is like thoughtful, nasty, over and over again. And so this manager was really being mean to this woman who was my counseling. So I told her to do the spiritual Bob Wire. That woman had been there, the manager, who was abusing my counseling for 5 years, working 5 days a week, no nights. So Monday through Friday, no nights, 5 years. We did the Bob Wire, and I think it was about a month went by, 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and they assigned her to every other weekend and days and nights alternating. She was gone in 6 weeks. Now that has happened many times, and I've taught at least 150 people, 200 people how to do this, and the restories coming back are like that. So you can use this in the workplace. You can use it in the church. You can say, in my church, people are reasonable. People are responsible. People are spiritual. Oh my gosh, just clear out half the congregation some places. I'm joking a little bit, and a little bit I'm not, unfortunately. It's not that we want to just clear things out. I'm saying if someone is way out of line, it gives you a way to respond that is not witchcraft. It's very important not to name the person, not to go after their free will, and not to use anything except biblical positive. So while you don't have to speak in Old English, you don't have to use King James English, you should be able to identify what you're saying in the Bible. Should be there. Like, people are loving, people are kind. People are generous. Okay, I want to help you get the whole feeling for this. When cattlemen string up barbed wire, they have no interest in hurting their cattle. They have an interest in making a boundary so their cattle can be productive and fruitful, so they can harvest the cattle. If the cattle hurt themselves, that's not in their best interest because their cattle could get infected and die, and then they lose a valuable beef cow. So the point of barbed wire is to create a boundary where something useful can happen. The point of making barbed wire in a church or a mission trip or your home, you can do this at your, oh, hey, kids, do this to your parents. Husbands and wives, what a fun exercise. Make sure that you don't ask barbed wire about anything you can't live with. If you're an incurable gossip, don't say in my world, people, I don't know how exactly I would frame that, because you don't say don't that much.
People, you say people are, speak respectfully of others.
People speak respectfully of others. Now, if you can't live with it, it'll cut you as fast as it'll cut anybody else.
That's right.
It is indifferent, just like barbed wire is indifferent. So this is to make a boundary where love can happen. So it's like a classroom. An unruly classroom, learning can't take place. And that's happened in our schools in America, where they've restricted discipline to the point to where they're just anarchy, many of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kids don't learn very well to the degree that it's true. So this is about making boundaries so love can happen, so Jesus Christ can be honored. And these are positive boundaries. You don't want to be going around working with negatives and naming people. Okay, remember that? Okay. So now I'm going to ask Nancy if she has any questions, and then that's all there is to this teaching.
At one point, when there was a dynamic there where you have to be careful not to do barbed wire with people that you live in the same house with, so that then they would be riled up or like acting under a lot of pressure or uncomfortable.
That's true. What I have seen happen most of the time, regretfully, is not people repenting, but people getting sick or being pressurized. Now, if you were with... I think you need to be prayerful if you're stuck with a person in the same house, but I have seen people improve things by saying, in my house people are sane, for instance. Usually they'll either get sick or leave, if it's a job setting. Within your home, you have rights to make boundaries in your home. If you had a husband who was abusive, you could say, in my world, people are kind and gentle, but you might rile him up. You're right. He might feel uncomfortable. He might feel pressured. Obviously, if your situation is that hair trigger and you can't get away from the person, you need to pray, but I wouldn't say not to do it at all.
Would a possibility in that situation be that prayer, no demons can manifest when this person thinks of me, speaks of me to others, or is in my presence?
Or when they see me. That would be a good prayer.
Say that over again in case, make sure it gets cups up on the mic.
Okay, well... This is a separate prayer. This is not the barbed wire prayer. Do not confuse these two things together.
Right.
It is a good practice to say, whenever so-and-so is in my presence, and you have a right to say this because the demons in them are actively moving against you, so you have a right to defend yourself. You are not casting demons out of, let's back to poor Susan. She's demonized and she's mean.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Susan. We're not trying to get rid of her demons, but we are making boundaries about what they can do to us. So we say, whenever that Susan thinks of me, whenever she sees me, whenever she speaks to me, whenever she speaks to others about me, or whenever she's in my presence, I bind every demon operating in her that would operate against me. That'll calm things down a lot. It will not make the person perfect. It will not address the demons who are not involved with you. But in your presence, things will get less horrible, since demons will never repent.
Yeah.
This is a separate issue from the barbed wire. The barbed wire is very good because it gives you an offensive position to take as a Christian. And believe me, this is powerful. This may sound benign and sweet and cute and all that, but it's very, very powerful.
Thank you, Richard.
Okay.